it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we watching two future MVPs on the football field tonight? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's Jaden Daniels and the Commanders going to Lambeau, Pearl to face Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. Now, the funny part about this is the story from week one about Green Bay was really the defense, not so much the offense. But just wait, because it is the NFL and quarterbacks get so much attention. And this Green Bay Packer team looks like it's going to be one of the best in the NFL. I know it's only 1 week, but people are already high on them. And now Micah Parsons just made it even bigger.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually think people are going too far negatively on Washington because of the final score of that game. What was it, 24-6, and there was a late score for Washington. But I never got the sense of the week one Washington Giants game that Washington was in any trouble at all. I felt like they could have scored more points if they needed to. So it's funny that Green Bay is getting all the flowers and everyone's already forgotten about the Commanders. And I maybe too soon. I don't think anybody expects the Commanders to pull off an upset at Lambeau.
No, I think the pressure now, as far as like if we're going global here, you want to zoom out 30,000 feet. I think that the Packers now weirdly have almost as much pressure as any team in the NFL. Now, maybe the Bills and the Ravens, you know, been knocking on the door, probably have a little bit more. But look at what's going on with Green Bay. It's like you have the quarterback you've been waiting, you know, this whole time for him to just like blossom. You've paid him. You drafted a wide receiver in the first round. You have this defense that has first round picks all over. Then you pull off the stunning trade for Micah Parsons 4 days before the season starts. And he looked good in the 29 snaps that he played in week one against a division rival in the Detroit Lions, who are the number one seed in the NFC. I think suddenly you wake up as the Packers and you're like, oh boy, like we haven't done anything yet. However, it feels like we are now moved to the front of the pack as one of the teams that should win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I mean,
they
move to fourth in odds in the Super Bowl. They're right behind the Eagles in the NFC. And I don't think the Eagles look great in week one. It's almost like there's more pressure on Green Bay right now to win than Philadelphia. And again, back to Washington, like there's no pressure. For some reason, no one's like there's no Super Bowl or bust energy around the Commanders. I think people just want to see them take another step. Packers have been hanging around the rim, as Jerry Jones always said, for a lot longer now. That being said, like these narratives, like I think it might be going. I picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, but I think these narratives are maybe getting a little out of control after week one. Because how do we know, by the way, that it wasn't just struggling Lions? Maybe the Lions losing their coordinators was the reason that Green Bay's defense looks so amazing.
It's possible, but I still think that Packers defense is going to be pretty good. Like, I don't think all of a sudden Jaden Daniels would come in and run roughshod over them. Like, I would be really surprised if that happens, but you're right. If somehow Daniels, who last year went on the road and won in some places you would have never expected a rookie quarterback to win, including Detroit in the Super Bowl,
playoffs,
and including Cincinnati early on in the season. Yeah. Like, Jaden Daniels was impressive on the road. This will be another test. If the Commanders do win this game, though, I think you are going to see a lot of like, oh boy, I bet Jaden Daniels goes up in MVP odds and stuff like that, which is another question we're asking you. Who is more likely to win the MVP? Is it Jaden Daniels or Jordan Love? Right now, Jaden Daniels winning by a healthy margin at Maggie and Pearl on X. And I'm a little surprised by that because I think Green Bay could be in line to win more games. And you have to win at least, 12 games? Minimum 11 if you want to even be considered in the MVP race.
Yeah, but Jaden Daniels is I don't know if you want to do a thing rating. He's much more of a thing than Jordan Love. Like, Jaden Daniels came and transformed a lost franchise immediately. 12-5 as a rookie and got to the NFC title game and is dynamic and is incredibly likable, has a celebrity girlfriend. Jordan Love is sort of taking over for Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and has been up and down. I think he was hurt last year. I don't think we saw a fair representation. They got to the playoffs, and what did Jordan Love do last year? Absolutely nothing. So I feel like the heat around Jaden Daniels is still way bigger than Jordan Love. I mean, what's the story of the Packers? It's not Jordan Love. It's Micah Parsons.
Yeah, for now. For now, but...
Micah's dominance of the... It's always going to be Micah. Micah will always find the microphone.
Dominance of the podium.
He's not stopped talking since he got there. And I understand it because part of his duties is the chief executive officer of Bleacher Report Gridiron.
There's no way.
Jordan Love's style, I'm sure he'd happily let Micah Parsons take all the attention. I think it's going to be Micah's team in many ways, but bizarrely. It will not be Jordan Love's team. Jordan Love will win a lot of games and might win MVP, but buzz-wise, it's jaded, right?
Can we pause on that for a second? We just saw the Dallas Cowboys and their fans who called us up relentlessly after the trade and said, for the most part, good riddance, get Micah Parsons out of here. And we heard that teammates were fed up with the podcast and him talking all the time and weighing in on football topics, big and small. If you're the Packers, do you want Micah Parsons coming in and all of a sudden being the face of your team? I mean, I thought it was kind of BS. I thought he got painted. It was too much emphasis put on the dumb podcast for Dallas. Like, you're just trying to make yourself feel better about why you traded away a premier talent in the NFL. You're trying to cope, you know, with the fact that Jerry Jones made this decision. But Dallas Cowboy fans will swear up and down he was bad for the locker room. Reporting from Albert Breer that Dak Prescott didn't like the podcast. It rankled people, rubbed them the wrong way. Would it be a bad thing if Micah Parsons does take over as face of the team and Jordan Love is not the all-out leader?
Absolutely not, because the Packers have a strong locker room. They can afford a character. I see almost no downside to this. First of all, it takes people are not going to be rushing to Jordan Love to try and get some dish out of him. Say the Packers lose this game. All of a sudden, these lofty expectations, I think people will flock to Micah Parsons. They won't flock to Jordan Love. I think there's a
benefit.
But
is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because Micah's going to say something.
Yeah, that's great. Like, remember when Rex Ryan took over the Jets? Yeah. He's like, I am not going to stop talking, so you won't bother any of my players. Like, I'll give you all the quotes. I think the Packers have actually no problem with Micah Parsons getting this. They're not like the Cowboys. They don't have Jerry. Like, I think the Packers can kind of afford this extra sort of drama. Otherwise, who's the second most controversial Packer? Nobody.
I don't know.
I mean, Quay Walker gets his idiotic penalties,
yeah.
But he's not.
He'd be the guy.
But he's a very likable guy. Like, it's not like
he has some college stuff that was not great, right? I might be remembering that wrong. But anyway, go on. Make your point.
Yeah, I mean, like.
But
they need a Micah Parsons almost. Like, that's one of the best things. Because Jordan Love is a little bit subdued, I think. Seems really cool, but Jane Daniels, on the other hand, is large and in charge. I mean, we know more about
large and in charge.
We know more about his dating life and his mom following him to weddings, and he just gets on camera and lights up a room immediately.
Yeah, I think the Jane Daniels thing, I always thought people thought that was a little strange that the mom is like so much like sitting in between him and Juju Watkins, his girlfriend.
Yeah, it's funny as all get out. I think
funny?
That Jane Daniels has 100% approval rate.
Like, yeah,
why would
like
anyone
him.
Have a problem?
People like Jaden, yeah.
Also, he was, what, the LSU won the Heisman, where Jordan Love was a Utah State quarterback. So he's got a lot of background. But I think Jaden Daniels is so likable. Even if you hate Washington, I don't think anybody hates him right now. Who knows?
No, I mean, listen, there is no one has done more for a franchise. I'm trying to think, has anyone done more, one singular person done more for a franchise than what Jaden Daniels has done for Washington? I'd like to say it was probably maybe Josh Allen for Buffalo, but they were maybe starting to turn the tide already a tiny bit.
A lot of examples. But Elway for Denver, Favre for Green Bay.
No, but like, I'm just thinking of the Daniel Snyder. Like, there was so much more than just being mediocre at football where you had Jaden Daniels who's come in and completely turned the franchise into a completely different thing. Like, there was nothing but negativity that was being associated with Washington.
I hear you.
Because, like, they even made the playoffs once with Ron Rivera. Like, it wasn't like they were just turning in these 3-win seasons every year.
Is that all Jaden, though?
Well, I think he's being credited for a lot of it. No, a lot of it's probably, what's his name? Who
Dan
owns
Quinn.
The team now? No,
Josh Harris?
Josh Harris.
No, I don't think it's him. He owns the Sixers and he's
they're dysfunctional. But maybe Dan Quinn gets some of the shine there. He probably deserves it.
Okay, well, Jaden Daniels hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, where there are a lot of quarterbacks who you could come in and say just lifted a franchise on their shoulders. Peyton Manning with the Colts. Like, what were the Colts before Peyton Manning? They were before and after.
Yeah, but not like getting dragged before Congress type stuff. You
yeah,
know?
But I don't know if from a football standpoint, if everybody views it that way.
Maybe not. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Who is more likely to win an MVP, Jordan Love or Jaden Daniels? You can weigh in. Other note that we want to bring you today, the updated injury stuff with Brock Purdy. So it's turf toe. It's depending on who you want to listen to. Kyle Shanahan, very unlikely for this week. So I think you can just pencil in now the Mac Jones experience against the Saints. But Pearl, beyond that, speculation that's going to be several weeks.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I think a lot of people are like me who think the Niners are perfectly situated to handle that one injury. It's almost like, thank God it's not Bosa or Trent Williams, because they can play conservatively. Their defense looks much better, and Kyle Shanahan can scheme up some things here. I mean, he hasn't really won with backup quarterbacks much in the past, but
except for Brock.
Well, right. Well, remember the Nick Mullins year, they didn't win. CJ Beathard hasn't won at a high level. But I feel like Kyle Shanahan's system will do enough on offense. I am a little worried. The weapons are all hurt. So, we haven't really gotten Juwan Jennings back. Ayuk is out. Kittle is out. So, whoever's at quarterback is not going to have anyone to throw to except Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey. But I think if the Niners survive this, it's going to say a lot about Shanahan. It's going to say that he can really do a lot with lesser quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's funny. As you're saying that, I'm thinking the similarities right now between the 49ers and the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs offense banged up, not looking nearly as explosive as it has in the past. Got guys out, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. Yet I believe Andy Reid, like Kyle Shanahan, one of the great offensive minds that we have in the NFL, that's not going to be this insurmountable obstacle. I think that Kyle Shanahan will be able to figure it out. And I also think that Andy Reid's going to be able to figure it out.
But you could argue their offense went down 30% last year after Rice got hurt. They've completely fell off a map offensively.
Yeah, for the Chiefs.
Yeah, so what happened there?
You know, they were still winning games. So I don't know if they felt like they needed to make all these wholesale changes, and maybe that's a mistake, but they went 15-2. They still did what they set out to do, which was get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's not what they set out to do.
Couldn't win it, but that was also a lot more injuries came into play during that Super Bowl game.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, Andy Reid can win with any quarterback. He's put up great stats with backup quarterbacks all the time. So you're right. It's very similar. You know, the thing about Mahomes is obviously so much better, though, than Brock Purdy.
Well, obviously.
Remember when Chad Henne filled in? They were okay on offense. In the playoff game, I think it was that against Miami? Anyway, Chad Henne came in for one, or Cleveland rather, came in for one game, and it was okay, but there's just you can't compare Mahomes and Purdy. Mahomes is way beyond a system quarterback.
Well, of course. The thing about Purdy, if you think that Mac Jones can come in and be just as good, or X, Y, or Z can come in and be just as good.
Not then, just as good, but win games.
Win games. Then what was the 5 years, $265 million for?
That's what a lot of people were asking. I mean, listen. There have been a lot of contracts that people probably should have questioned more when the Dolphins paid Tua, when the Jags paid Trevor Lawrence. I think after last year's playoff loss, I think a lot of people were saying, ooh, Jordan Love, $53 million a year. That's a lot. So who knows? We'll see if that contract works out.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. A couple things for you. Who's more likely to win MVP, Jordan Love or Jaden Daniels? And also, can the 49ers win with Mac Jones? And is San Francisco already regretting that Purdy contract? Stan's in Connecticut. Stan, good morning, sir.
How are you? To me, Daniels would be my choice. He played last week. And to his saying, he didn't even play that well, and neither did the team. So I really think the Commanders are a force. They just manhandled us on both sides of the ball, interior. Was brutal. But anyway, my point with the Giants, I got 2 points, one on defense and one on offense. Okay. On defense, how do you have really four studs, potential Pro Bowlers, if not all pros? You got Burns, Thibodeau, Carter, and Lawrence. And together as a foursome, I think they only played in the teens percent of the down. I'm what is going on here? First of all, you should be prepared to deploy them together all the way through preseason and the spring practices and such. Well, I don't understand how that's not possible. None of them are really hurt.
Yeah.
And second of all, you got to let the new guy, Carter, who's got all the abilities, and just looking at the guy, when you see photos of him, you're like, whoa, you know, this guy just looks ready. And why don't you put him in the free reign LT, go anywhere within the scheme, anywhere you decide to line up and decide to play yourself is fine with us, because I think he could be LT too. On offense, and I'll finish it and listen, you know, I think Dable sealed his fate by selecting Dart as the number two. You know, unproven, no matter what he did in preseason, fine. They did a lot of high completion dinks and dunks, to be honest, the way I saw it. And we'll see how long Dart's, you know, reign lasts after being thrown in the fire. I firmly believe Jameis Winston will play a quarterback and successfully for the Giants. And how ironic will it be if Winston saves Dable and Shane when he's the afterthought?
Yeah.
You know, that'll be insane.
Stan, thanks for the call. So a couple things there to chew on with the Giants. I'm expecting that Abdul Carter's role is going to evolve as the season goes on, right?
I think the Giants are the most weirdly built team because here's my analogy. They have a crappy house and they spend millions of dollars on their man cave in the basement. Mm. They have this insanely great, talented defensive line and garbage, except for Malik Nabers around the rest of the roster. Like, why do they have all these good... Brian Burns is probably top five defensive pass rusher in the league. Abdul Carter is going to be a star. Kayvon Thibodeau is good. Like, why
Dexter
is all
Lawrence
this?
Might be one of the best
Dexter Lawrence
defensive
is
tackles in the
first
league.
Or second best tackle. Yeah. Why is all the talent in that one unit?
And then to Stan's point, how are they deploying it, right? It's you have all this and it just feels like...
But how could you deploy it? Like, what's the difference? If you can't score any points, then who cares what your pass rush is?
Can I also just maybe bring something up? This is a little insider-y with the Giants, but, you know, the defense looked great when Wink Martindale was there. And Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll couldn't get along, and now he's at Michigan. Maybe you should have put your differences aside.
Well, I thought the defense actually looked pretty okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, in Washington, like, what you could have the 85 Bears defense with Russell Wilson in that quarterback room right now. You're not winning a single game.
Well, defenses are always a little ahead of offenses, usually in the first week of the season. So we'll see. But and then for the offense, I mean, we're all team start Dart around here, no?
Yes, but also another thing with the Giants is, again, for the past decade, and it's still a problem, the offensive line. Doesn't matter if you have Russell Wilson back there. Doesn't matter if you have Jackson Dart. Doesn't matter if you have Jameis Winston. That offensive line is putrid. No matter who's back there, we'll get sacked, and it's not going to yield any results.
Which is funny, because now this is three GMs later. GMs have not been able to figure this out with the O-line.
I miss you, Chris Knee. I miss you.
Why'd they take Abdul Carter, then? Why didn't they just go with Will Campbell, the left tackle?
Best available.
Yeah, I think that's why.
I understand, but I don't know. It's like
iron sharpens iron.
Well, also we have Andrew Thomas at the tackle spot, and that's the thing. Do we? Because he's very injury prone. So I mean that was the logic that I guess Dable had. We have Andrew Thomas. Why waste our pick on Anderson? And we'll just go get a best available.
Not everybody loved Will Campbell either. He didn't have a great first game.
Yeah, he got kind of pushed around.
Listen, this is a team that in one of the greatest quarterback drafts of all time decided to take Malik Nabers. Joe Shane's kid nailed it. Should have gone up for a quarterback.
I don't think there was one available for him. But
well, they pass on Penix, McCarthy, and Bo Nix.
Turns out the ones behind Drake May actually were pretty good.
Also, turns out that kid is the starting quarterback at his high school in New Jersey.
No way.
Yeah.
Joe Shane's kid.
That kid, that boy.
Maybe they could draft him.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Joe has a job done.
I won't put my money on it. Let's get to your calls at 888-710-4ISN. A lot more for you. You're welcome to weigh in on all things NFL and college football. We will check in on our favorite college football coach in just a moment. But first, Pearl's big winner last night on Prize Picks, and you can be as well. Baseball's been awesome for me lately, and I love putting baseball together on a night like tonight with the NFL. And with Prize Picks, it's just so easy. What do? You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you win big. Simple stats. It's user-friendly. It's safe. It's secure. Honestly, guys, the app is so cool. It's simple to use. Once you log on and download it, you start looking around a little bit. It's going to become very, very obvious on how to make your selection. So I would go to Prize Picks and play along with me and Pearl.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. All transactions are on the app. Are so fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks. especially in the fall. But there's so many sports going on. It's the best. It's so good to be right. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP and get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play just $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 bucks bonus credits in lineups just for playing. Guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Covered a lot today. You know who we haven't heard from lately? Big matchup against our Cougars this weekend, Houston Cougars. That's Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders, Maggie.
Daily.
Do you believe that?
Deion.
You believe that?
But a little backstory. Maggie and I went to a Houston Cougars donor event at the one of the Fertitta's apartments in Houston.
Yeah.
And he had a full half court in an apartment, had a full half court with the Houston Rockets logo on the ground. He's a part owner of the Rockets.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we have it on our Instagram. I still have the slippers.
Yeah, Mattress Mac was there. Dana Holgerson was there. There was some other like incredibly rich Houston dude.
Were you there, Bogus?
Case Keenum was there.
Case was there.
No, and then their defense, this happened before they came to the morning. Well.
Yeah, this was when we were doing afternoons and we used to go to the Final Four, which we don't do anymore because of the timing and stuff. But
you and I said we were going to be committed to be Houston Cougars football fans. And it turns out their basketball team is awesome and their football hasn't quite figured it out.
Yeah.
But they host the Buffs tomorrow. So what's Deion up to?
Well, we have no money to contribute to the Houston Cougars. Yeah, we were kind of snuck into that party.
I want in on the basketball team. Calvin Sampson seems to know what he's doing.
Deion Sanders going to the third string quarterback. So it's just funny, not that he would make this decision, Pearl, because Staub was already in the program, right? But he had Juju Lewis was the five-star who reclassified, who came to Colorado thinking he was going to start. Then Caden Salter came from Liberty, was the transfer.
Juju is coming on round the mountain when he comes.
That's favorite.
Caden's off the chain.
They're both at Media Day, but now here it is, the third string quarterback who's going to be starting in this very important Big 12 matchup their conference matchups are starting. And it's just interesting because, you know, not if like everyone thinks that Colorado is destined for anything massive this year, but this is the first time Deion has not had his son as the quarterback. And we're in week three and we're on to quarterback number three. So it's just interesting. I don't even know what it says. It probably says Deion's doing the right thing. If, you know, not going by the recruiting ratings and not going by the NIL money, but going by who actually gives them the best shot to win. If he thinks it's Staub, then go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Julian Lewis, we said it yesterday, is ridiculously young. I think I watched both. Did he have two drives against Delaware? He looked fine, by the way. Like, there was nothing wrong with Juju Lewis. He looked like he belonged on a college football field. But it's hard when you're... Is he still 17? Did you say that the other day?
He's not 18 yet.
Yeah,
and that Blue Hens defense, you don't want to tangle with the Delaware defense.
And how old is Staub? Is he... He was there before Deion got there?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the backup for Shador.
Shador, yeah. So he's been in the system.
So Deion got there and cut everybody, and this guy survived that? That's amazing. He's got to be... okay, I'm looking at him now. Yeah, I mean, age matters. So I'm not surprised. And Deion's got to win. Like, it's not about... It's not about delivering on whatever recruiting promises there were to Julian Lewis.
What about Caden Salter? It started 3 years of Liberty.
Wait, what's the deal with Salter?
Being passed over.
I mean, he looks like he's been benched, basically.
He's just... Okay, so he's not going to be part of this mix at all?
Well, Deion, his commentary on this was confusing, to say the least. He was not committing to anything when they asked him about all this stuff. So who knows what the situation is?
Let's hear from Dion, shall we, Manny? Of course, when he's pressed about the QB situation, Dion taking it out on the media. I'll hear cut two.
In today's media, we don't care about being correct anymore. We just want to be first. And there's no subjection to you when you're wrong. Nobody says nothing. You just go with it. I'm not saying that's the case, but that's where we are in media. Nobody gives a darn about being correct and being right. Everybody just want to be first. Right. That don't make no sense to me. I would love the integrity that we once had with media.
He was in media 4 years ago.
Right.
So, the media while he was at Jackson State.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, the other part, too, is the media wouldn't have to guess if you would just confirm who's actually going to be the quarterback and why you're doing this.
Stop with all that logic, Maggie.
The only way that sentence matters is if Ryan Staub is not the quarterback this weekend.
Right.
Like, that's the only way that sentence is valid, is if we're wrong. I think Pete Thamel had this first. So when Ryan Staub takes the first snap on Friday, is Deion apologizing to Pete Thamel?
Oh, no.
Let's bet. Let's hear cut one, Manny. So this is Deion and would not confirm the report about Staub starting the next game, even though Pete Thamel's reporting. That's what's up.
I'm not confirming nothing, y'all. Y'all know that. We ain't like that. We good. We have capable guys. Staub has been doing a phenomenal job doing and getting the majority of the reps, but I haven't made that assessment or decision yet.
I have not heard this clip. Deion cracking a joke? All right, let's hear it.
That's the goal. I don't want to play musical chairs to quarterbacks. Why would I want to come to the game and do that? I'm spinning the darn wheel and it lands on, you know. I mean, I wasn't good at roulette. Although I would put everything on 21 black any day. You better believe that. Hey, I don't want to put them on three numbers, man. I want one thing. Yeah, one thing. And hopefully we get to that point.
Was he eating something?
Yeah.
You're chewing on ice.
Yeah.
But no, old unks, they always got some candy.
Yeah.
Eating on the roof.
Was he quoting Wesley Snipes there? Like, was that some kind of always bet on black kind of joke?
No, that was his number.
Yeah, yeah.
His number, yeah.
But it was a playoff of...
The bet on black?
Yeah, kind of, right?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was just about Deion.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, he'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. That's still one of my favorite Deion.
Is he starting to just get into nonsensical stuff? Is this like the coaching version of Jerry Jones going
on? Is anyone good at roulette, by the way?
Coming around the mountain when he comes.
I have a quick question about all this. Who's playing quarterback?
You tried to sell us yesterday that it was Rusty Staub's grandson.
Yeah, that will last about two. I'm probably trying to find out how old Ryan Staub is on the internet, and that's the one thing AI over you cannot find.
I think Shador is starting.
They wish Shador was starting. All right, well, there you go. That's a little check in on Deion Sanders. Deion and Bill Belichick.
Not, shallow.
Not the stories we thought they would be. Not sucking up the oxygen I thought they would this football season so far.
I'm going to hug him.
Although we do have the Belichick update, which we'll get to in just a moment. Yes, Pearl?
I can't find Ryan Staub's age. We have a crack research team here. I'm on the Rivals page.
How can you not find this?
Rivals page, it says nothing. The bio, it says nothing. I don't know. I'm just looking at the wrong places. ESPN doesn't list college players' ages.
Oh, you're right.
Wait, what if it's one of those things where he's actually like 40, but he's back in school, like faking?
No,
that's Chad Powers.
He's like a junior. Yeah, I mean, he's not even that. Chad Powers, all right. Maybe 24/7 has it.
Wikipedia doesn't.
I mean, he graduated in high school in 2022, so he's roughly 21 or 22 right now. He's not. He can't possibly be one of those like 29-year-old guys.
But how in the year 2025 can we not find the possibly starting quarterback for Colorado's age?
I think it's because he was like buried on a depth chart.
Because nobody cared about him until 5 minutes
dude,
ago.
Dude, is Rusty Staub's grandson.
Why is he not playing baseball? Is Rob Manfred playing this yet?
Well, the funny thing is, there's a Ryan Staub that plays baseball for Rutgers, but that was in 2014.
Now that could have been Rusty Staub's grandson.
Maybe
does he
is.
Have red hair?
He doesn't. I don't know. He's got a hat on.
It is funny, by the way. Ryan Staub, a 3-star recruit, I'm on his high school page, is going to beat out Caden Salter, the number one transfer portal guy, and a 5-star recruit in Julian Lewis. Like, this is what if he turns out to be good? That'd be a wild story.
The origin story. All right, folks, take it away.
Headline sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
I can't believe you don't like her.
It is like Skinamax for Pearl. A backup QB is getting the call this weekend. Mac Jones expected to replace Brock Purdy for the Niners in New Orleans. NFL Network now saying Purdy is dealing with a form of turf toe and will miss 2 to 5 weeks. San Francisco plays Arizona in week 3. Now, Jaden Daniels might be as excited for Lambeau as Pearl is for that Mac attack.
Just be able to play a night game at Lambeau Field. You know, growing up, you hear about the history of Green Bay and everything, so I'm super excited to go in that stadium and be able to experience that.
The
Commanders
visiting Lambeau on the season premiere of Thursday Night Football, and that means dealing with Micah Parsons, whom they know well from Dallas.
Here we go.
Dan Quinn was asked this week how he'll handle the former Cowboy.
Are you asking what would I do if I...
Sure.
Yeah, I'd sit him this week. Yeah, on a short week.
Oh, the giggles.
Ja.
Yeah. Assume he'll play tonight. We have the NBA now investigating Malik Beasley, even though he's no longer a target of that federal probe into odd betting patterns surrounding his action back in January of 2024. And we have the NCAA ruling 3 players permanently ineligible for pulling Ajante Porter, basically altering their performances so they could all bet on it and win the prop bets. 2 of the players were at Fresno State, the other from San Jose State. Neither school is being punished for this.
Can you win a lot of money betting Fresno State basketball props?
They won $15,000.
That's not bad.
Right. But it's not worth the trouble you might find yourself in.
Not worth losing your eligibility in the NCAA, I don't think.
Not going to cover your lawyer bills.
The statement from one of the kids, he basically just like, I did it. Like, it was the statement he released to ESPN was a text message, and he was like, I respect the NCAA's decision. Now I'm going on to my life of trying to be a businessman or whatever.
Yeah, one guy owned it and cooperated. 2 other guys wanted no part of this. They did not speak to the NCAA. So,
you know, I wonder, okay, not for pros. Jante Porter deserved to get suspended for life or banned, you know, from the league. Not for pros, but for college kids.
Get out of here.
Go ahead.
A suspension
ahead,
for a year and then come back? You can't learn from your mistake here.
E-gad.
It's college kids.
EGAD, you said.
I went EGADs on that. No way. A guy was throwing things for bets? You can't let him ever play again.
Yeah, I think you're done.
Yeah, sorry, Max.
Man, we're 4-1 against me on this one?
Yeah, because you can go, I mean, if they're
kinda
good
like
enough,
the palm to palm.
You could go somewhere else and play and let the NBA or like a league in Europe forgive you. But NCAA can't let you come back.
I watched that documentary on the Arizona State betting scandal in the early 90s. Like, that guy, that I think it was more than one guy. They definitely should not have come back. Like, there was nothing good. There was no reason for NCAA to bring them back. Once you do that, and by the way.
Coaches come back from a lot. Now, I don't think that Alabama baseball coach who was clearly calling his bookie before when his pitcher got hurt is not coming back, but we allow some grace. Like, Bruce Pearl got a show cause penalty. He's back. He's
for
one of
what?
The faces
for a
of college.
Barbecue?
I'm just saying, like, we allow the adults to come to...
For non-serious crime or non-sports related crimes. To throw a game, I don't want to do Pete Rose
They didn't
here.
Throw a game, though. They threw their prop.
Which is...
I understand. I'm parsing words.
One of them was to like not play well, basically.
Right. I get it. I'm just saying, like, is it a teaching moment? Is it a punishing? I'm just wondering, like, can you sit a year out of suspension and come back? Like, you can, you know, basically you can punch your girlfriend and come back. You can do all these other horrible things and come back. I know it's different. It's not integrity of the game stuff. It's a different kind of crime. But
the other thing too, Maggie, to me is like, I don't mean to sound like dismissive of like the sport because I actually love college basketball, but it's college athletics. Like, okay, you can't play basketball anymore. I think you'll be okay.
Right. You're not in jail.
Right.
I understand.
You're not getting. I don't know if these guys were thrown out of school or not. I'm not 100% sure.
One guy graduated, and it says the other 2 are no longer enrolled. I don't know if they left, if they were asked to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if the NCAA can kick you out of a school.
Right.
But they're for different reasons. They're all no longer in those colleges.
It's a joke, but like they are student athletes, so it's like, all right, well now you become a student. Like, you know,
right.
Like,
your life goes on.
To be honest, like maybe you should be focusing on like, you know, individual growth that's supposed to happen during college.
I'm just wondering if you become like an ambassador about like, hey, I screwed up and I can tell you it's not worth it, but you know,
it's not like Michael Vick and dog fighting. Like it's just this a different different kind of
violation.
Crime. Yeah, it's a way different kind than anything that happens off the field, unfortunately.
Wait, real quick, though. I feel like the Malik Beasley thing was weird, too, because, like, they quote-unquote cleared him from the federal investigation.
Yeah.
Though then I heard the feds are, like, not, he's not a subject, but, like, he's still, like, involved in some way. And then there was this word that these teams were becoming interested. The Knicks and the Cavs were interested in maybe signing him, and then that went, like, dead silence, and now we hear the NBA investigation. So I'm wondering, like, what's going on with Beasley?
Yeah, because I think he and his lawyer used the word exonerated, and that was their word. I think they just were no longer looking at him for whatever reason. Maybe they got the guys they needed to get that were above him or whatever, but I think there was a difference in no one necessarily decided he didn't do anything wrong.
Hmm.
He just was no longer in danger of that probe coming to get him.
Gotcha. So it was more like them trying to control the narrative in a way. And then, like,
I mean, and which I guess to their credit, they've been doing all along. Like, they were the ones that kept telling us what was going on, that he was talking to them and being part of the investigation. And they were the ones that said he's no longer a target, which is a nice, you know, nice if you can tell yourself that you're no longer in trouble.
I mean, your Knicks can sign Michael Beasley, former Kansas State star.
He was already here, man.
Yeah, we
talk about
him.
Someone who is off the court trouble.
Your favorite player's favorite player, man.
Every time you talk about Malik Beasley, I think of Michael Beasley. Isn't he still doing this tour where he beats people in one-on-one on the internet? Is that a thing?
Well, he's playing the Big Three, so he had to pause that for a second.
Oh, he's in the Big Three?
Yeah, he might have been the MVP of the league, I think.
Oh, my God. I got to watch the Big Three now.
It might be over.
I think the season ended.
That's a summer thing.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Well, Manny's least favorite character also was playing in the Big Three.
Did we have a guest where we asked, could you beat Michael Beasley in 1-on-1? Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah, we asked Rashad McCants, you and I.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Because McCants is also kind of in this 1-on-1 thing.
Yeah, he's like, I already had the crown, so I'm already the king. So I don't got to test myself against anybody. Yeah. But go find Melo.
Yeah.
That was what he said.
Wow.
Michael Beasley, by the way, doesn't own a shirt in any of those.
No.
That guy.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
The best, like, not wives' tale, but like urban legend was from the show Atlanta, where they made up the storyline that Michael Vick races people.
That's my parking favorite lots, clip.
Like races them, not in a car, on foot.
That's one of the best scenes in the history of television.
Atlanta, it was so good.
Donald Glover vehicle?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Childish Gambino. And I remember interviewing Michael Vick, and he was like, yeah, it was hilarious, but he doesn't actually do that. It's like, damn.
He should, though. That would be so cool.
He's coaching in Norfolk State now.
No. He got his first win, I think, last week.
Do you think he races his kid, the players on the team?
Does he go out on full pads like Mike Vrabel?
He strikes me as the kind of guy that, like, doesn't do anything athletically anymore. Like, he's just like,
he's retired.
I was so elite. I was so much better than everybody. Like, I never have to challenge myself in that way in any way.
Oh.
He may, like, exercise a little bit just to stay in shape because he is in pretty good shape, but he's not, like, doing anything close to competitive.
Oh, see, I would have pegged him for, like, jumping into drills and, like, this is how we're going to do it. And he runs the play.
Really?
I mean, to be fair, he admitted when he was with the Jets at the end of his career that he did not learn the playbook. So I think EJ might be onto something here.
He's, like, the most chill dude.
That's the thing I was thinking,
too. In the entire world. Yeah. He's so laid back.
He's so laid back. He just seems like, whatever. You guys,
what do you think he's like as a coach?
He's probably awesome as a coach.
But do you think he gets in people's face?
I don't think he does. And I think when he does, it's almost like, oh, man, I disappointed Mike Vick. Like, you're not actually scared.
He's like a legend.
Yeah, it's like, oh, how could I do this? How could I miss his assignment? Now Michael Vick's disappointed.
Do you think he's doing any X's and O's, or they're just all vibes and overseeing?
I mean, we saw his playing career. It didn't feel like it was a lot of X's and O's there.
A lot on field.
Right, you think he's making a game plan for the next Norfolk State opponent?
Michael Vick knows football.
He has to. We were joking, kind of. He knows football.
I know. He's just like kind of his style, yeah.
That wasn't a knock on his football IQ. I think he's just hanging out while his coordinators do.
Yeah, any former player.
Yeah, like I don't know that Deion is in there really drawing up plays.
Definitely not doing the
quarterback, though, so I would think he'd have more.
I was going to say, I feel like he's probably more like, oh, the quarterback, your elbow's not tucked in on this throw.
Right.
Do this better. I don't think he's like, all right, you know, run, you know, we're running a run and shoot offense, and this is my philosophy.
Anybody want to go see Mike Vick's team on Saturday? They're in Piscataway taking on Rutgers.
No way.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about taking Lucas to his first football game.
3:30 Saturday.
You can meet Michael Vick and race him in the parking lot after the game.
Can my kid run a straight line? That's another question.
Well, you gotta hold his hand, and you with your gigantic feet.
Palm to palm.
I could injure somebody. Is that what you're saying? It's fair.
Bogus, step thank on you. Your boy.
Get in the blocks and recreate your Usain Bolt video.
No.
What a shameful moment in my past. Okay, coming up next, we check in on another college football coach we're fascinated by. Next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's check in on Bill Belichick, Pearl. According to ESPN, there were four patents that Bill and Jordan Hudson, his girlfriend, had applied for with the U.S. Patent Office. They got rejected. Do your job, Bill's version. Ignore the noise, Bill's version. The Belistrator, Bill's version. And no days off, Bill's version. We'll send up to Taylor Swift. All got rejected by the Patent Office. So.
I would think the Belistrator could sneak through, because who else is going to use that term?
I'm glad you asked. 2009, the Patriots trademarked it.
Oh.
Yeah. And in 2013, they secured Do Your Job. 2017, they trademarked No Days Off and Ignore the Noise. So what Jordan Hudson was trying to do was make this all Bill's version, like Taylor with her music, and it all got rejected. According to the patents office, they said it's likely that consumers would be confused, mistaken, or deceived as to the commercial source of the goods and or services.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're naming, you know, patents that were signed in 2009. She was only 6 years old then.
Oh, God.
What happened to Gold Digger?
Which
is stupid, because, like, there's two famous songs called Gold Digger. Like, why would that be trademarked? And why would Do Your Job? Like, it's like, I'm trademarking Have a Nice Day. I don't even understand how these very simple.
Mick Foley has that probably.
Yeah. Yeah, these very simple.
I mean, Nike got Just Do It.
But I don't know. Do Your Job, like, that's trademarkable. It's like, hey, please hold the door. I'm going to trademark, like, just put three very common words. I don't understand this trademark office. The one that always drove me crazy was Pat Riley with the three-peat. Like,
Pat the Rat?
Like, why does he get three-peat?
He got there first.
He got there first. He didn't invent the term.
At least that's a play on words. Not to your point, hold the door. Hold the door, which is very... Would you say have a nice day?
Yeah, have a nice... Maggie and Perloff would be like...
Bart Scott trademark, can't wait. I mean...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, he got that trademark nationally?
Can't wait!
I can't remember the story of Bart actually got that trademark.
Can't wait!
He did. But anyway...
So any shirt that says can't wait on it, Bart gets a nickel?
Well,
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't, like, you needed to go through him.
So we should start throwing out trademark ideas. I guess Belichick, they probably just denied him because they didn't like Belichick. They're probably
can't wait.
Dolphins fans or something.
Droughtbuster.
Yeah, Droughtbuster.
We tried.
There's a agricultural product.
And also, it turns out I was wrong.
No, don't give up yet on that take, Maggie.
That's true. I mean, listen, I already got it with the Rory. Rory.
All right.
Being the drought buster.
But you call it the year of the drought buster.
Well,
what's the NFL team that has to win it all for you to get the drought
the
buster?
Bills, bro. What type
or the
of
Vikings.
That?
But those are first timers. There's no drought.
Oh, yeah. We're back to this conversation.
That's why I thought Oklahoma City Thunder also counts in the drought buster. But
because they won in the Seattle? Seahawks.
The Seahawks. It's first time they're winning in OKC.
All right.
But they're not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah. Anyway, other news about Belichick.
By the way, why not the Lions? Over the Bills.
Could be the Lions, too, also. Here, there was some issues about whether or not Bill was allowing Patriots scouts to come and to the facility. So here's Belichick, Manny Haircut 6, confirming the Patriots not welcome at Chapel Bill.
Yeah, well, no, it's clear that I'm not welcome there around their facility, and so they're not welcome in ours. Pretty simple.
God, this thing is ugly. But Mike Vrabel was asked about
it. Pretty simple.
And he's now in the crosshairs here. He said that Belichick did return to the Patriots facility for the Tom Brady statue unveiling. So what about that?
I would imagine that Bill, I mean, he came back for, the best of my knowledge, Tom's ceremony. So that I would, he's welcome back based on the fact that he was there.
That was courtesy of WEEI. So,
pretty simple.
You know, it's funny. Robert Kraft Pearl said that Bill Belichick will get a statue at some point, and I just don't believe that. I think there's so much bad blood here, and I think there's even more with Kraft's son, Jonathan, and Belichick. So I'm not holding my breath for any more acknowledging that Bill Belichick was ever a part of that dynasty.
But he just said that a week ago. He said it a week ago.
Yeah, but I just don't. I think
so he's just
this,
lying.
Like, yeah, and this is like Jerry Jones said forever that he was going to get Jimmy Johnson into like the Ring of Honor. Now he eventually did, but it took 25 years.
That's not exactly how I remember. I kept saying no. He didn't say I'm going to do it.
I thought he was like keeping the door open, and then Jerry eventually did it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know why I kind of believed Kraft. I feel like they will build a Bill Belichick statue.
You think so?
Definitely.
It's gotten so ugly though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think time heals all wounds. I mean, when Favre was super ugly with Green Bay for a long time, and then like 8 years later, like all was forgiven.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think the next generation, like Kraft's son, holds even more grudge.
So you're saying once Robert is out of the picture, yeah, but you know time heals all wounds. Eventually, this will all just wash over. I was actually wondering, is this Jordan Hudson's influence that all of a sudden Bill Belichick's getting so catty and personal and petty?
I think he's probably been like that, right?
But he keeps it to football usually. Like, he doesn't talk about personal vendettas, does he? I can't remember him ever doing that.
I don't know. There was a lot of time there before Jordan ever got on the scene between him and Kraft. All right, that's where we have to leave it. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers, Survivor Picks, get them in. Prize Picks, make it part of your daily routine. Enjoy the game tonight, Commanders, Packers. See you tomorrow.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.